I'm Paul Lancourt with PodTech. We're here at Forrester's Consumer Forum, and I'm sitting here now with Charles S. Golden, Principal Analyst with Forrester. Charles, hello. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
You were just giving a talk earlier today about marketing to the mobile channel, and in order to be successful in the mobile channel, you need to recognize that it is unique, that it is different. In what ways would you describe the mobile channel as unique and different, and how would you need to tailor your marketing for that difference?
Well, I think that if you compare consumers' experience through their mobile devices to what they get on their PC and the fixed web, I really highlight three differences in that experience. One is that the mobile experiences are much more abbreviated. They tend to be very brief because consumers are typically not just sort of meandering or browsing for information like you do on the web, but generally they pull out the device because they need something. And that's the second point, that the information exchange tends to be somewhat transactional because consumers are, they're really looking for that one thing that they need right now. Like, you know, just simple example might be, you know, is my flight delayed at the moment? Or, you know, what's the address of that restaurant that I'm supposed to meet this person at? Or, you know, that sort of a quick hit of information that is really, you know, something I need right now. And then I think the third point is that you know, when you're browsing on the fixed web on your PC, location doesn't really matter. Maybe your zip code, if you're shopping for something, matters. But I mean, the mobile device, it's mobile. It's wherever you happen to be right now. So it's much more intimately tied into the physical locale of where you are at that particular moment. Those are really, I think, the three strongest differences between the fixed web experience and the mobile experience.
And in order to be successful, as you say, people need to recognize those differences and not try and address the mobile experience as though someone were sitting down at their computer. But you also said that if marketers want to increase their reach, there needs to be a fundamental shift in how consumers behave. What kind of a shift would that have to be in order to make it more viable?
Right. So that shift is really about the way that consumers think about their phone and how they use it. Because today, for most consumers, you know, it's a voice device. It's like that thing that you have sitting in your kitchen or something, except that it's a bit smaller and it's got a screen and the wire's been cut off of it. That is, they use it mostly for voice, right? And so the real shift in consumer behavior has to be an understanding of this is not a phone with its wire cut, but rather this is a general purpose computing device that's attached to the internet anytime that I want it to be and can deliver information to me on demand. And that's a highfalutin way of saying it, but really it's about changing your perception from this is a voice device to this is a voice and a data device.
So it sounds like the two need to meet in the middle somewhere, that marketers need to recognize that this is not a full-fledged browser, that it is, in fact, a mobile device unique unto itself, and that users need to start seeing it as less than just a voice device, but as a more active browser-enabled or text-enabled device as well.
Yeah, I think there's no question that kind of meeting in the middle has to happen. But I don't think that marketers can really expect to drive that behavior in a really significant way. Now, there are a few instances where something like, for instance, American Idol was a strong driver of text messaging. And I don't just mean text messaging in terms of volume, but actually it invited people who had never text messaged before to use the service. So in that way, a marketing effort can start to help drive that behavior. But I think marketers have to be circumspect in their expectations about that shift. They're really not going to drive that. What they're going to do is ride on the coattails of other parts of the industry, whether it's the carriers themselves who are marketing new services, content providers like Fox or EA, who are making new applications and content available to consumers that they access in this data-centric way on their phone. And as marketers see that rising shift in consumer behavior, they need to be right up behind it, delivering new marketing messages through those channels as they reach more and more consumers.
And you also gave some data during your speech today about the difference between how young Americans and older Americans view the devices, and it really is a generational, Gen X, Gen Y kind of a delineation, where people on this side of the Gen X, Gen Y spectrum see them as something more than a voice device. And as these people get older in the United States, at least, that should then drive the change in perception. That should drive the kind of shift that you're talking about in consumer behavior, because these people will have grown up being used to these devices as something different.
That's right. That's, I think, probably the major driver for a growing base of consumers who use more than just voice on their phone. However, at the same time, you do have a small rise in the older age groups. There are some of the less youthful individuals who have discovered, certain applications, mobile data applications that are meaningful to them. And it might be something like getting travel updates or connecting back with the airline, or maybe somebody like Travelocity who sold them their flight options in the case of a change or something like that. And because it's timely, because it's right there at the moment, they may go back and engage with the Travelocity site, for example, to book a new reservation when their flight gets canceled or something like that. So, depending on the segment of those older users, there are certain applications that start to drive that behavior. But I do believe that the bulk of that move is going to come from the early users, finding new uses, and as they mature, as you say.
Already there are uses of cell phones, uses of mobile devices that people might not think of as traditional. And one of the ones you gave an example of earlier today was of the billboard in the subway. Perhaps you could share that.
Yeah, this is a case where some marketers and content producers are using physical proximity and short-range wireless technologies like Bluetooth or infrared to deliver content to a consumer who happens to be right there, in physical proximity to their advertisement or their kiosk or something like that. This is the example that I gave was a poster for the musical The Lord of the Rings that's running in Toronto at the time, and it was an ad. A poster in the Toronto subway, and that poster had a Bluetooth and infrared transmitter built into it, and so consumers could walk up to that transmitter, enable the Bluetooth or infrared on their phone, successfully connect up with it, and if they were successful, then the poster, through that short-range wireless connection, would deliver a customized ringtone that using music that came from the musical itself. And it's funny that people who were unsuccessful heard this sort of moaning and groaning from a troll in the background from behind the poster. But there are other examples that I've seen in not deployed in the physical world, but these ideas make a lot of sense using the same kind of idea. For example, you might imagine that if you walked up to a bus or a subway stop, there might be a Bluetooth transmitter there that you could download the schedule of the trains that go by there, and also maybe get updated information about whether they're running on schedule or not.
So there's lots of buzz about the potential for mobile devices and the uses for both consumers and as opportunities for marketers. And I'm wondering, for example, we talk about the future of video. Why can't I watch video on my cell phone now? And will I even want to watch video on my mobile device in the future?
Well, you can watch video on your cell phone today. Of course, it depends on who your network provider is and what kind of a phone you have. But Sprint offers a number of TV channels through a couple of partnerships, one with Mobi TV and another with GoTV. Most often this is sort of repurposed content. It's typically news, sports, weather, entertainment, music-related things. Verizon has their VCast service that allows you to download and stream video clips, music videos, or a segment from last night's Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Now, these are streaming services, so they're subject to the capacity of the network. That you get a better experience if you're using their more advanced network, the Sprint PowerVision or the Verizon broadband access network. But what's coming next year are true broadcast networks that will Now the distinction is that on today's these streaming networks, there is only a certain limited amount of capacity, so that it, as each person requests a stream, even though it might be the same stream as the previous person, that's a new stream that's going to chew up capacity in that cell. And so at some point, a user is going to request something, and there's just not going to be any more capacity to deliver it. And also you have the kind of experiential problems like, you know, delays. You may get a buffering message, very similar to what the early days of video on the web. These broadcast mobile networks that are being built by companies like Qualcomm MediaFlow or HiWire or Modio are going to deliver real broadcast TV to mobile phones. Now, your question about whether people want this or not, that's certainly a valid concern on the part of the people who are building these networks. My personal belief is that there are a number of challenges that need to be overcome, namely, there has to be appealing broad-based content, it has to be reasonably priced, the handsets that that consume this stuff has to be, you know, interesting, has to be affordable, and the experience that gets delivered really has to be, you know, quote-unquote, TV on your mobile phone. If you've got buffering messages and slowdowns, and that's not TV. People have a certain expectation about what TV means. But my personal belief is that all of those technical hurdles and marketing challenges will eventually be overcome, and we'll see, you know, moderate uptake of mobile TV among consumers in the U.S. over the next 5 years. That was a long-winded answer.
No, it was a great answer. No, and actually, it lent some credence to my question to begin with, which is why isn't there video, which there already is. I guess I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, will people use it as a device to watch television on, which is actually, you answered the question I didn't ask in the first place. So thank you very much for doing that. Charles Golvin, thank you very much for taking the time out and speaking with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for joining me.
Charles S. Golvin is Principal Analyst with Forrester, and I'm Paul Landcor for PodTech.